Good morning, everyone. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I appreciate so much all the prayers on behalf of my mom. She started feeling bad last Wednesday, but then on Friday morning wanted to go to the ER, and she has sepsis resulting from a really bad kidney infection. We were hoping she would be better after 24 hours, but last night she was not any better at all. I talked to Dad this morning. They're changing around some medication, trying to change around even the pain meds, but just would really appreciate continued prayers on her behalf. I know a few of you here have had sepsis before, and it is the sickest I have ever seen any of my loved ones. She's not been very good, but we are very hopeful that the change of medication and that the continued fluids will help her, but would really appreciate continued prayers on her behalf. This morning, the context of my sermon reminds me of the thesis of my sermon, and that is that we are not in control. And let me tell y'all what I mean. A few weeks ago now, I did an initial sermon about core theology, and you all know this series for the year. We have had so many new siblings in our faith here the last few years that over the course of this entire year, I want to offer 7 sermons that offer my core theology. This is how I read the Bible in 7 lessons. Well, my very first one, of course, was fruitfulness. And that afternoon, I got to be in Matt's prayer group. And Matt's prayer group gave me literally 4 sermon ideas within the course of a 30-minute discussion. And this is the first one that I get to present. In that sermon, of course, I asked, what is the difference between a fruit tree and a Christmas tree? And this is an analogy that I can never exhaust. And they gave me 4 new directions for thinking about this metaphor and exactly what it means. But one of the comments that was made in that prayer group is that a Christmas tree goes out of season on January 7th. But a fruit tree never goes out of season. And this is the irony of the lesson this morning. When I'd written this sermon last week, I was going to start by saying, if the Lord Jesus were here among us this morning, he would probably encourage us to be outside, and Sybil helped me figure this out, under the dogwood. Well, not with the current weather conditions. Life is out of our control. I love to watch those 2 dogwood trees throughout the year. They are so pretty. Every time when I pull up in the springtime, every time when I come during fall, and then just through the glory of summer, these 2 trees are always just so beautiful to watch. So this morning what I'd like to do is consider how we live lives as Christians in season and out of season. As much as I love Christmas, I just cannot tolerate having our Christmas tree up after January 7th. It loses its magic. And we've tried the Christmas in July thing. I think that's just silly. If you enjoy it to your own. But it just, when it is 95 degrees outside and Hallmark is playing all those silly movies, it just don't feel right. Christmas comes in December. And then January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, that's really not the season of Christmas. You need to wait till December. And whenever Otis gets his reindeer antlers out, and when we start having our festivities, that's when you know it's time for Christmas, right? A Christmas tree is only up for a month. But as Christians, we are to serve in season and out of season. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is where we will begin this morning. I have not preached on Ecclesiastes in 5 years now, I realized. Ecclesiastes was written by the preacher, typically thought to be Solomon, as he reflects upon his life. King Solomon, the son of David, reflects upon his life. Solomon had began his reign as a wise king, endowed by the Spirit of God with as much wisdom as any human has ever had. But as Solomon indulged in the vanities of this life, he left the Lord, exchanging the glory of God's wisdom for vanity. Toward the end of his life, he writes this book, reflecting upon life and asking what makes life weighty, what gives life weight and meaning and purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. I misread this beautiful poem in Ecclesiastes for most of my life. Because the takeaway that I had from this poem is that there is a season for everything, therefore use wisdom to act when the proper season comes. You figure out when is the right time to sow. You figure out when is the right time to cast away stones. You figure out when is the right time to gather stones. You decide when the right time is. But I really don't think that's what this poem is about. If you go back to verse 1, the text says, "For everything there is a season." Now in Hebrew, this word literally means what our English words mean, season. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. Let me ask you all, how much control do we have over when winter comes? How much control do we have when the flowers begin to bloom? How much control do we have over how long the trees will remain yellow and orange? The seasons are out of our control. Solomon here is not exhorting us, all right, control the seasons. Solomon is reminding us the seasons are out of our control. Jeffrey Myers, in his wonderful book on Ecclesiastes, which Dan Lankford actually recommended to me, comments on this passage this way. This poem is not about human determination of events or even human discernment of times and seasons. The poetic passage is about God's activity, not man's. It is about God's comprehensive determination of all of man's times. Indeed, it sets the stage for the focus in the entire second section of Ecclesiastes, chapters 3 to 5, which is about the activity of God, the all-encompassing plan of God, and the appropriate human response to whatever God does. It is out of our control when we are born. It is out of our control when we die. It is out of our control when to plant. It is out of our control when the harvest comes. Each and every one of the circumstances that this poem refers to are outside of human determination and outside of human control. Why then does Solomon remind us of this? Great King Solomon, the builder. Great King Solomon, the architect. Great King Solomon, the planter. He reflects upon his life and realizes, the times are not for me to plan. The seasons are out of our control. So what then do we do? Throw up our hands and live as hedonists? Life is out of our control, so just follow the stream? That's not going to be Solomon's conclusion. Solomon will follow this up in verse 9. Ecclesiastes 3 in verse 9. What gain? Now for those of you who listen to my sermon again, that's a very important word in Ecclesiastes. What weight? What gain? What can we do in life that will actually produce an effect? What gain has the worker in his toil? It would perhaps seem that the seasons are out of our control and the times are outside our determination, so there is no gain. Follow the stream where it leads. But he says, verse 10, I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in his time. And he has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end, I perceive that there is nothing better for them to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in what he has. This indeed is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it nor anything taken away from it. God has done it so that people may fear before him. That which is already has been, and that which has be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. Again, Myers comments on this passage in this way. Our circumstances dictate what we must do, and our circumstances are not under our control. Think of the plans we may have had before gas prices suddenly escalated. Suddenly, everyone had to shift priorities and resources and either give up travel or give up something else that they could be able to afford. Every time our lack of control over life is brought to our attention, we tend to treat it as some sort of anomaly. But the fact is that all of life is like that. Solomon is not merely repeating himself in this section. He adds a statement that gives a little different light on what he has already said. At the beginning of verse 11, the ESV puts it this way. God has made everything beautiful in its time. Solomon is making a confession of faith. Notice that in making this confession of faith, Solomon turns away from man's toils and questions of whether it gives leverage or advantage and turns to God's action. God is the primary actor here. God is the principal doer or worker. Now we're getting somewhere. Because we cannot control when spring comes. No more than we can control when the first snow falls. But we have to read this passage from the other end. This is not a passage where we are the active agents controlling the seasons. This is a passage reminding us to be passive recipients of the seasons. Let me say this again. This passage is not reminding us to be active agents of the seasons. This passage is reminding us to be passive recipients of the seasons. If we are fruit trees, we must respond to God's active work in the circumstances of this life. I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Christmas trees Try to act like winter year round. Christmas trees try to control the seasons. Put your Christmas tree up for Christmas in July. Maybe we can get a bit of winter in here. But a dogwood, Sybil thumbs up dogwoods, right? Okay. I thought it was dogwoods. Dogwoods, they have no control over what season it is. Now, Kirby, I did not take this picture this year. I actually took this picture last year. Tell me, what season is it based on these trees? It looks like spring. How do you know it's spring? You see the blossom and the blooms. You can tell what season it is simply by looking at the state of the trees. The trees have no control over the seasons. The trees respond appropriately to the seasons. And when we, as Americans, are willing to yield our control to the seasons, perhaps said more biblically, when we are willing to give over determination to God's time, we then will be growing fruit trees. The Apostle Paul encourages the young evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul exhorts, "I charge you in the presence of God, of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." We do not go back in the box for 11 months out of the year. We are always rooted and planted in season and out of season. Now, if anybody looked up the book I recommended, this is a book about trees. I've actually come to really enjoy it. But the author, Roland Benn, has a chapter in there about timing of trees. He asks, "How do trees know that winter is coming? Or that rising temperatures aren't just a brief interlude, but an announcement that spring has arrived?" Did y'all notice this? Like, even earlier this year when we got a warm spell back in February, the trees didn't start to blossom. How do trees know this? It's a great question. It seems that trees can count. They wait until a certain number of warm days have passed, and only then do they trust that all is well and classify the warm phase as spring. But warm days alone do not mean that spring has arrived. How do trees register that the warmer days are because of spring and not late summer? The appropriate reaction is triggered by a combination of day length and temperature. Rising temperatures mean it's spring. Falling temperatures mean it's fall. Trees are aware of that as well. And perhaps we may say that trees have a sense of time. Trees respond to the light. I think y'all see where I'm about to go. Trees respond to the light. And God has put enough intelligence into a tree to know when to change for the season. A tree. A tree without a brain is able to learn the temperatures and the length of day to respond to the seasons. But then what are we as humans over here doing? Acting like every day is summer. Pretending that every day is winter. We must respond to the seasons. There are indeed four seasons. I've tried to give one word to describe each of the seasons and what a tree does in those seasons. During winter, the days are dark. The light is rare. The heat is low. And what does a tree try to do in winter? All that a tree tries to do in winter is survive. It does not try to produce fruit. It does not try to grow. All that a tree does is try to survive. But then spring comes. And that's when the trees begin to blossom. Once the light begins to come more frequently and the temperatures begin to rise, trees begin to blossom. But then as we work forward to summer, that's the time in which they grow. Through the miracles of photosynthesis, they take the light. They take the water. They take the light and the water. Theologically, you see what I mean? And they grow. But then we come to harvest. Let me ask you. What season of life are you in? What season of life are you in? I think in my immaturity as a Christian, I used to try to treat every season of life like summer. Every day I need to be reading the Bible 5 hours and growing and studying. And then tomorrow it's fall. So I've read my Bibles 5 hours the day before. So tomorrow I'm ready to go out and save all of Louisville. And then I got a little bit of energy and today is spring. I'm going to blossom. I'm going to grow. Y'all, is that how seasons work? Do seasons change hour by hour? Do seasons change day by day? Of course they don't. Solomon reminds us, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. If we are going to live the wisdom of Solomon, and we are going to fulfill the exhortation of Paul, we are to respond to the seasons of life. And you know what that means? We are going to be in different seasons. But we, as a family of God, respond to the seasons appropriately. Do y'all know how much free time Lisa has? I mean, she like has a job that she works a few hours a week with. She has like 2 little girls and like they take 30 minutes or so a week. She does a little bit for her mom. She's never done anything for here, any of us, I know. Like, it's not when COVID started, she did, like, drive-by visits for all of us at our window or anything. Do you know she just has, like, lots of free time right now? Now, Lisa's giving me the stink eye. I think she knows I'm finally being sarcastic. Lisa is in a different stage of life from Jerry, who's retired. It's true. And how foolish would it be for someone who is in a different season of life to try to live like you're in a different season? There are some of you that have been blessed with long hours and days of light. Some of you do have the privilege to let the light of God's word shine upon you for hours a day. Others of you are in winter. Survive. But I pray at some point we are in the fall. Fall is still my favorite. When I was at Florida, oh, I missed fall so much. The colors and the fruit and the pumpkins, oh, it's so great. But as a Christian, have you been in fall time? Have you harvested and shared your fruit? No, we cannot control the seasons. But we can respond to them. And as fruit trees, we are to be ready in season and out of season. I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. And also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all that God has done. This indeed is a gift from God's own hand. This morning we may have someone here who is ready to blossom. You have lived your life in the dark, and you are ready for the light of Jesus Christ to bring about newness of life. Even though outside it is cloudy and it's not the sunny, blissful day that I was hoping for to preach this sermon, spring is still upon us, and God can bring newness of life to all that respond to him in obedient faith. If anyone needs to respond to the Lord's call, I should come forward now as we stand and as we sing.